Today, Stetson University College of Law held the first day of its International Wildlife Law Conference. Stetson Law Professor Peter Fitzgerald stood out among the clusters of men in pressed designer suits.
This is a kilt, it's not a skirt.
Fitzgerald was discussing the legal dispute between Canada and the European Union over the EU's ban of importing seal furs and meat. Attached to the waist of his kilt was what looked like a leather purse.
This is not a purse, it is a sporran. The sporran, traditionally, that accompanies the kilt is made out of seal skin and seal fur. This one's not. This is a cheap imitation. But traditionally, it's made out of seal skin.
He said that Scottish cultural leaders were up in arms upon hearing of the ban.
When this regulation came out, the Scottish community, the sporran manufacturers and the rest said, oh my gosh, our traditional business is now at risk. This is terrible. We're going to have these plastic sporran. My God, what's happening to our tradition here? And then they start looking and saying, wait a minute, you've got an exception in this regulation for traditional Inuit culture. Why don't you have an exception for us?
One of the big questions, Fitzgerald said, that rises from allowing the seal trade to continue on traditional grounds was where to draw the line. He added that while protecting seals seems like a no-brainer to many, other species might not garner as much human sympathy. Starting with seals, he said, might help animal rights be perceived and applied more broadly.
Harp seals. You look at that and you say, boy, that's a cute little animal. And that's great, but there's not a big Save the Cockroach Society. But there are lots of animals out there that are going through some very extreme things, and it's actually rather frightening when you start to see what goes on in the food chain. When you look at the factory farming practices, some things are well-known, veal, foie gras, and the rest. But there are a lot of practices out there that are just not particularly visible. So I think one of the advantages of doing, of addressing issues with animals like seals or the rest is that it raises the idea of animal welfare as an issue to be addressed more broadly.
Cetaceans are another group perennially in the wildlife spotlight. Scientists have found that a wide range of maritime practices are impacting whale, dolphin, and porpoise populations. Dr. Naomi Rose, a marine scientist with Humane Society International, said that despite clear evidence that Navy sonar is detrimental to whale populations, little is being done to mitigate this. Protecting sensitive areas, she said, is key.
Protecting important marine mammal habitat is generally recognized to be the most effective mitigation measure currently available. In other words, simply identify important areas where military sonar exercises shouldn't occur. That's the most effective mitigation is simply not to do it around these animals.
Rose did say that the Navy is working with environmental non-governmental organizations to identify sensitive zones wherein they will not conduct training exercises. She said that the sensitive habitat zoning would not apply in wartime.
And since the Navy does have to protect national security, it is, we're not for 1 minute suggesting that that's a lesser degree of importance than environmental protection. Basically, we're saying you need to try to identify some places that are key for these animals that you would agree not to enter and conduct exercises.
Another threat to the normal functioning of cetaceans, said Dr. Veronica Frank, a marine campaigner with International Fund for Animal Welfare, is a phenomenon that gets less press. That is, noise from underwater shipping.
Shipping dramatically alters the acoustic environment of more marine animals. Especially in the 10-300 Hz frequency band, which is the one used mostly by large baleen whales. We know, for instance, that since the 19th century, the distance at which blue whales used to communicate has been reduced by approximately 90% compared to what it was in previously.
Frank added that it's on course toward getting worse.
Of course, with the forecast increase in shipping, as well as the current trend toward bigger, larger, more powerful ships sailing all over the oceans, including previously inaccessible areas such as pole regions, it's really likely that the overall noise in the ocean will also increase, as well as the potential impact on marine life.
In 2008, she said, an international consortium resolved to reduce the overall noise level from commercial shipping by 3 decibels. She said that reduction would be easy and would actually make overseas shipping cost less.
It's not a burden, it's actually a real opportunity to also improve efficiency of shipping and eventually reduce CO2 emissions. So this is something that the industry seems to have understood, and that's why they are particularly collaborative on this particular topic.
Other discussions explored topics ranging from the market for lemur meat in Madagascar to issues hitting closer to home. One of these was how to best manage commercial fisheries amid a challenging economy. Fish and Wildlife Research Institute Administrator Louise Barbieri said that red snapper in the Gulf of Mexico was an example of a threatened population in need of monitoring that also contributes to the livelihood of some. The conference will continue at Stetson Law through Saturday. Reporting from Gulfport, for WMNF News, I'm Kate Bradshaw.